Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so thank you for coming back to the channel once again. So here we are, it's over 11 weeks since the Labour Party was ushered into office on the 5th of July this year. So Sir Keir Starmer and his Labour cabinet, how are they doing? An interim report card. Well, not well, as you might expect, certainly from my perspective, but even they've had a few successes. So they've been constantly trash-talking the British economy. And so that the feel-good factor has gone. And actually, it was quite a rosy picture when they took over. Unemployment was very low, about 4%. Inflation down to 2%. Remember, a couple of years ago, it was 10%. So public finances are in order like that. They've let debt rise. It's going to be 100% of GDP. Now, Labour, they could have cut spending in various areas. They could have raised tax immediately. They came in, they saw the books, they said it's an appalling situation. Why dither? There's not a moment to lose. Another point is gold has risen enormously in value over the past 12 months. So, and that has given the fiscal headroom of a few billion. And has been pointed out by some left-wing commentators, that's easily enough to abolish the two-child benefit cap and indeed to retain that winter fuel allowance for pensioners, which I believe is for the entire United Kingdom. I think, is it £600? Is that to last the whole winter? An additional £600 on the state pension to pay for the higher cost of heating your home in the winter months. And winter is imminent. This is going to be a very rainy, stormy weekend. And this tempest is bringing with it some gelid temperatures, certainly in the boreal parts of this realm. But Labour's not going to do that. So without impairing public finances or reducing the United Kingdom's credit rating, they easily could have done that. And they're choosing not to do it. They're being Nero. They're fiddling whilst Rome burns. And so by constantly bad-mouthing the British economy, saying, oh, it's terrible, what a dreadful situation we inherited from the United Kingdom, from the previous Conservative government of the United Kingdom, they're making it harder to borrow things. They're depressing market confidence and so forth. People are less willing to spend. So it's actually very short-sighted just because they're trying to come up with as many excuses as possible to raise taxes. And if they really needed to raise them, do it already. So they're bringing in that new tax on fees in independent schools, which might force up to 80,000 children into state schools, which are already bursting at the seams, with no guarantee that any independent school teachers whatsoever will go to the state sector. Probably a few will, but it's unlikely to fill that many places. There's another few sensible decisions they've taken are saying that certainly state school teachers can do some of their work from home. It might be 4 days a week actually teaching in school, and one day a week you'd be catching up on the paperwork, of which there's so much, rather than the sensible thing of actually getting rid of most of the unnecessary paperwork and the marking, obviously have some marking, and so on. Or maybe just half days, morning staying at home, afternoon on whatever day of the week coming in for lessons, because it's one of the very few white-collar jobs that people can't do remotely. But the only other white-collar job that you cannot do remotely, I'm pretty sure, is dentistry, because I've never heard a remote dental consultation or dental work, whereas even there can be telemedicine for doctors. What else? Pushing ahead with green energy. I mean, I do think that's a good thing. The anti-NIMBYism of building houses on the green belt, well, I don't want to wreck the environment like that. I do have some sympathy with the need to have more affordable housing. But one thing they could say is fewer people going to university. All these university halls of residence occupied, you know, only about 6 months a year. Or tell people to get rid of the idea that every child has his or own bedroom. Go back to what we had earlier in the 20th century, that unless you're very rich, you know, two brothers are going to have to share, two sisters or maybe sisters and brothers, or, you know, three or four children. You just go back to like being at prep school or whatever. Even single adults who are not in a relationship. You know, I knew two single women. They shared a bedroom in London long ago because they didn't have very much money or more. A million places like Russia was perfectly normal. Up to four single adults sharing a bedroom. I mean, it may not be ideal for them, but it does keep costs down. And it means that you don't have to build so much accommodation. What else? And the thing is, the places they're going to build seem to be places where people don't particularly want to live, and they're not that many jobs, and you can't do all the jobs remotely. The low-hanging fruit has been picked in terms of places where it's easy to put new housing estates. The thing is, all the brownfield sites, and or to move more civil servants out of London. So, well, I don't want to go because my spouse can't easily find a job. Well, we're going to give you something like 5 years, and you take it or leave it, and you're going to be sent to Newcastle or Cardiff or something. Okay, well, we might give you a choice, right? Or you're going to go to Derry, or you're going to go to Exeter, but you're going to have to go, And then that'll be more government buildings they don't need, more housing freed up, because all the money from the United Kingdom comes into London. And OK, some of it is given as subvention to the less economically developed areas. But, you know, a lot of it's spent in the most expensive city as it is. So we could reduce the crowding there. What else? So I think some of the good things is the pay increases for doctors and nurses, and then the junior doctors, 66% of them, I think it's in England anyway, not the UK as a whole, voted no more strikes, which is not to say the 34% definitely want a strike, maybe 30%, some will be neutral. You just obviously you can't have a strike unless it's a majority. But they say for the moment, we'll accept this for the moment. But that is good that there are no strikes. And obviously the strikes cost money to the NHS. It makes people's health conditions worse. It puts back the date of their appointment and blah, blah, blah. Now, to some extent, the trades unions see Labour as their party, and they're correct in as much as Labour grew out of the trades unions in the late 19th century. And many trades unions donate to Labour. So the time was that many Labour parliamentarians were superannuated trades union barons. And some of them were literally barons later on going to the House of Peers. So that has been a success for them, but they're going to have to give them more payments. It's going to be slightly Danegeld, but I mean, I do agree that doctors and nurses are vital, and they need to be paid more. And in real terms, they've been worse off. Goodness, and likewise, to have far fewer train strikes. They're given to the train drivers, but not to the other railway staff. And these may be private companies, but it does affect much of the economy. And I'm someone who takes the train almost every day, and I can tell you it was infuriating. But obviously, transport strikes are not as terrible as they used to be because, of course, more people work from home. But it tends to be the professional class of work from home. People who do blue collar jobs usually have to be there in person, you know, as farm laborers, as construction workers, as factory workers, as shop assistants, as cleaners, as waiters, as waitresses, as barmen, as barmaids, as nannies and so forth. And so, ironically, those on more modest incomes are impacted most heavily by these strikes in public transport. What else? Refusing to beef up the armed forces. Well, that is a very perilous decision. They've jeopardized British security. They made it less of a reliable ally, and especially in view of the Ukraine conflict, this Gaza conflict, which obviously the United Kingdom should stay well out of, you know, tension with China over Taiwan, and the Chinese, I'm sorry to say, are entitled to take back Taiwan. I know Taiwan is a free country, that's marvelous. The People's Republic of China is a horrific tyranny, but legally, Taiwan is Chinese. So the UK should not be getting involved there either. So some noise is about more cordial relations with the European Union, but nothing substantive. So Labour, they've achieved very little, really. They've started taking liberties, reducing people's rights. So they're against civil liberty, which is obviously despicable. Letting these jailbirds out. I suppose there was no alternative, and some of them put back in jail pretty quick, but the jails were bursting at the seams. And I've got to blame the outgoing Conservative Party. You know, the Starmer, it was before Starmer, the Sunak administration, Liz Truss was there, so brief doesn't count. You know, Boris Johnson, Theresa May, all the way back to David Cameron, because this problem you could see it a mile off. And the same thing happened under Labour. They needed to build their way out of this crisis, or sentencing reform. Some of these indeterminate sentences brought in under Tony Blair, all right, some of that's sensible, but people then have no release date and they're going to become suicidal. I know some are very dangerous, some of them are not that dangerous, could be rehabilitated. And I do see the possibility for redemption in almost everybody. Hope I'm not naive. But, you know, try and turn bad people good, and that sometimes work. Moving towards more of a sort of German, Dutch, Swedish model of reform of prisoners. Okay, but it's very expensive in the short term, but the long term dividends are enormous. So fairly dreadful from Labour in many regards. And we see what a tightwad Keir Starmer is, who's got a net worth of over £10 million accepting free clothes. Wow. How tight-fisted he is. He's like, well, not quite 100 times richer than me, an awful lot richer than me. I buy my own clothes. Maybe it shows. And all these free holidays and things like that. And okay, I wouldn't say no to a free holiday. But, you know, when you've got a fortune of over £10 million, you should have some sympathy with these people you're taking the heating allowance from. And all these politicians, oh, I'm trying to help and do good. Why don't give away your own money? I mean, not all of it. At least a bit of it. And obviously you have to blame the Conservatives as well. You know, greedy bastards like Rishi Sunak, who will never give a penny to a good cause, but claims to have compassion for the impecunious. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.